is Sechta Sukkah Daf Lamed Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Beis, Amed Beis, on the second wide line. The Gemara continues discussing Hadassim. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Kalua Kamin Kliya, the Hadass should look like it's braided, the Daimel Shalshelis, it looks like a chain, Zeu Hadass. That is kosher hadas. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, anaf eitz avos. What is another characteristic of the hadasim? Eitz shetam eitzoy per yeshava. That the wood and the fruit have the same taste. Have Omer, which plant has that characteristic? It's a hadas. Tana, we learned in a brisa. Eitz avos kosher. If it's braided, it's kosher. Sheena avos, but if it's not, pasul. Hechi dami avos. What is the example of avos? Amr of Yehuda. V'ho de kaimi tlosu tlosu tarfa bikina. There are three leaves on coming out of every stem, which is diagram 167 on page 56. Actually, Tosfos points out that if we look at the Gemara says that the three leaves come out of one stem. But he said that's not the way the hadassim look. The hadassim, the three leaves that are round, come out from three separate stems. We're going to learn that they have to be even, but they come out from separate stems. Rav Kahana says, a filo trei v'chad. Even if you have two leaves coming out of stems that are on the that are connected to each other or on the same level, v'chad, not on the same level, which is diagram 168, it's also kosher. Says the Gemara of Acha Berei de Rava Mahada Trei V'chad. When he looked for Hadassim, he specifically looked for Hadass that wasn't three, it was two and one. Like Dritva explains, certainly he agreed that Hadass is preferable to be three. But since his Rebbe said that Hadass could be two and one, he wanted to show the whole world that he's doing what his Rebbe said, so he took the Hadass even though it wasn't the perfect Hadass. Since Rav Kahana said it's kosher, he wanted to demonstrate to the whole world that his Rebbe is correct. Amalei Maba Memeler of Ashi, Abba, so he told him, my father, Lahu Hadash Shaita Karolei. Such a Hadash is possible because it's called a Hadash Shaita. Hadash Shaita, the number of Peshat and why it's called Hadash Shaita. Shaita means somebody who's deranged. So this is also not in proper sequence, and therefore it's a possible Hadash. Another Peshat, Hadash Shaita, the Gemara uses a lot of times the terminology Bechor Shaita. What does Bechor Shaita mean? Somebody who calls himself a Bechor, but he's not really a Bechor. Let's say somebody's only a Bechor from his mother. This Hadass is Hadash Shaita. It calls itself a Hadass, but it's not really a Hadass. Another Peshat I saw is Shait means a whip. You know what you could do with this Hadass? Use it as a whip. Don't use it in your Dalamina. There's an interesting Shaila Lahaloch Lamaisa. Let's say, so we're learning now, based on the Gemara that we learned yesterday and the Gemara we learned today, Hadassim have to be braided this way, three Hadassim together. And we learned yesterday that how tall does a Hadass have to be? It has to be three Tfachim. So the perfect Hadass is three Tfachim, whatever three Tfachim are, always the Machlaik is how much you measure a Tefach to be, of perfect three braids of three leaves together. Now, certainly, if you have a hadas that's longer than three tefachim, but you have three tefachim of perfection, the fact that on the bottom it's not doesn't disqualify the hadas, as long as you have those three tefachim that are fine. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the Rishonim already say it, let's say you have Rubik Kekula. If we have three tefachim, Roiv of the three tefachim have the proper braiding. Will that still be considered a kosher hadas? So the Rabbi already says that that's a kosher hadas, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins that way. That if you have Rubik Kekula, it's good enough. However, the Kafach Chaim quotes an Erech HaShulchan, and the Stipler also says this, that it's not just Rubik Kekula, it means you have a drop more than a tefach and a half. You should have at least two tefachim of the hadas look right, and then the hadas will be a kosher hadas. Again, if you can't get one that's completely braided. Now there's another shaila. Let's say you have leaves missing. You could see there was a leaf there. A lot of times you see hadas, that the leaf was there, there's a stem, and it fell away. So again, the halach is ruba kakula. If most of the leaves are there, we say ruba kakula, and hadas is also kasha. You need roif. Again, tutfachim, yeah. Now, there's an interesting shayla that the Mishnah Berurah asks in the Bi'ur Halacha. Let's say you want to rely on two roifs. You only have two tfachim braided, and in that two tfachim you have some missing leaves, but you have most of the leaves remaining. Do we only say one roif, or do we even say two roifs? So it's machlokes the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch Rav. The Mishnah Berurah says you don't say two roifs. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says you can even say two roifs in one hadas. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Nashu roif aleph, if most of the leaves fell out, v'nishtai by kosher, but some, the minority of the leaves remained, it's kosher. However, uvat shteya m'osa kayemis, but you still need that it should be braided. Ask the Gemara, hagufa kosher. It seems to be self-contradictory. Amrit nashu roif aleph kosher, that if most of the leaves fall out, it's still kosher. For Haratani, and then in the same sentence you say, that it still has to remain. Kiven the Nusli Trey, once they fall out, Ovas Hechim Shkachsla, it's no longer braided. Amra Baya, Mishkachsla B'Asim Mitzra. We find about Asim Mitzra. Rashi says, Tup Shotim and Asim Mitzra. One pshat is that it's the Hadassim that grow on the boundary. Another pshat is that there were Hadassim that were commonly grown in Mitzrayim. That it's a very interesting thing about these hadassim. The kaim is shiva shiva b'chad kina. Usually hadassim, as we said, grow three leaves. These grow seven leaves. And there's an interesting chacham tzvi that says la'aloch l'maisa. The chacham tzvi says that one would think that if he sees hadassim that are growing seven leaves instead of three leaves, that this would be maybe a murkav, that there's something wrong with the hadass and should be automatically disqualified. Tells us the Gemara that it's not disqualified. We shouldn't be so quick to assume that the hadas is a possible hadas. So now, if you have seven leaves, the chinasri arbi, even if you have four fall out, poshla tlosi, you still have the three leaves, and you have a kosher hadas. Omra Abaya, says Abaya, Shmamina, based on this Gemara, we can learn, hai asim mitzra, this asim mitzra is koshla shana, can be used as hadasim. As the Gemara Peshitta, of course, why not? Answers the Gemara, it's not called just a hadas, it's called hadas mitzra. So perhaps I would think the loy miskasher, it's not kasher for hadas, kamashmon that it is. Ask the Gemara, and maybe takir it isn't, if it's not called hadas, it's called asa mitzra. Answers the Gemara, eitz ovus omrachmana mekol makom. The Torah says it just has to be the characteristics of eitz ovus, and the fact that it has a suffix or prefix doesn't make a difference. Ask Tosfos, what's the Havamina? Why would I think that Hadas Mitzra is not kosher, that the Gemara goes with this Shaklavataria? Tosfos doesn't answer the Kasha. So I saw, based on the way we explained the Gemara yesterday, a beautiful answer. Yesterday we explained that we really know what the Hadasim are, because we have a Messiah, that for hundreds, thousands of years we've been using this Hadasim. So we would think that the Asim Mitzra is not what we have a Messiah on. And if it's not why we have a Messiah, should not be kosher for the Hadassim. Teaches us the Gemara that it is still in the Hadassim family and is there for kosher. Tanabon, Yoshu Roiv Aleph. If most of the leaves of the Hadass got dried, Venishra Boshoi Shabade Alalachim, and three rows of moist leaves are left, kosher. Vamrav Chizda, Oberosh Kalechavech, but it has to be on the top. So there's a three-way machlokes rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Rashi explains the Gemara like this, that the person had a number of hadassim in his lulav. We're going to learn tomorrow that the hadassim is the only one of the dalaminim that even though we take three, if you want, you could take more. He had a number of stalks of hadassim. Some became entirely disqualified and they're not usable. Some were left with one row of three that is still moist. And Rav Chisda says that where does that one row have to be? On the top of the hadas. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. The Ran and the Ritva learn like Rashi, but they say you don't have to have three leaves, three hadasim. If you have one hadas with the top row of three still being moist, it's a kosher hadas. The Rosh says a different pshat. He says you have to have three rows of three leaves. And in each one of those three leaves, he says, the way it usually works with Hadas, there's one leaf that overlaps the two other leaves. That's called the Rosh. That leaf that overlaps the two other leaves has to be the moist one. But here you have leaves, they're just dry. There we were talking that the leaves are missing. Here the leaves are there, they're just dry. Niktam Roshay. So we learned in the Mishnah that if the top of the Hadas is missing, it's possible. So the Miri tells us introduction to this Gemara. It's a very interesting phenomenon what Hadas, he says. Even if the Hadas is already detached from the tree, from the bush, if you leave it in water, it could grow a berry on the top. Says the Gemara. Tani Ula Bachinina. Niktam Roshay. If the top of the Hadas fell off, which we learned it disqualifies. Also by tomorrow, and then a berry grew in its place, kosher. So now it's not anymore empty on top, cut off on top, you have the berry, and it's fine. So our Gemara now begins the sugya of dichui b'mitzvahs. There's a concept by kachim. By kachim, the halacha is that if a carbon gets disqualified, even if the reason for the disqualification is no longer there, it remains permanently disqualified. And our Gemara is going to ask now, what's going to be the halacha if a hadas gets disqualified and then it gets kosher again? Do we say that once it's disqualified, it remains permanently disqualified or not? By Rabbi Yirmiyah, Niktam Roshim Erev Yontif. Erev Yontif, you start Yontif with a hadas that's not kosher. V'asa by Tamar B'Yontif. And now on Yontif, your hadas grows the berry. Mahu. So when Yontif began, the defining moment is when Yontif began, you had Apostle Hadas. Do I say Yesh Tichu Yetzal Mitzvahs, that since it's disqualified, it remains permanently disqualified, or loy? And like Rav Yoshe Ben Salvechik explains the Gemara. He says, by Kachim, there's a din that the carbon has a Kedusha. So if the Kedusha sort of leaves, so it leaves permanently. Mitzvah, it's not a Kedusha. Mitzvah is a chiyuv gavra. I have an obligation to do a mitzvah. So there, perhaps, it's not like a carbon, and that's why the Gemara is asking, yesh tichui mitzvah or not. I saw from Rav Shechter a very interesting question. Rashi says, and we just explained it a moment ago, that what is the defining moment? The defining moment is when Yontif begins. So he says, why is the defining moment when Yontif begins? You don't take the dalamin until the morning. And let's say the first day of Yontif is Shabbos, you don't take it until the second day. So why is the Gemara say the defining moment is when Yontif begins? It should be in the morning when you have to take the mitzvah. So he says a very nice pshat. He says, this way I understand what he's saying. In a mitzvah, there are two aspects. There's a chiyuv to do a mitzvah, and then you have to actually carry out doing the mitzvah. The chiyuv of taking dalet minim begins when Sukkos begins. You can't be mekayim the mitzvah until the morning, because the Torah says, V'lkach t'lechem b'yom arishon. But the chiv mitzvah, when does it begin? It begins when Yontif begins, which is at night. And that's why Rashi correctly explains the Gemara that the defining moment is when Yontif begins. So the Gemara now is asking, do we say this concept of dichui b'mitzvahs or not? That if something becomes disqualified, it remains permanently disqualified. So I saw two interesting questions. The halacha is that let's say a child on the eighth day can't have a milah. So what's the halacha? We make the milah when he's able to have the milah. If we say yesh tichui yetzal mitzvahs, if he was disqualified on the eighth day, he should remain disqualified for the rest of his life. So the mefarshim answer that by milah there's another vart. Besides that there's a chiv to do a milah, every Jew is not allowed to be an oral. So if you don't have a milah, you're an oral, and you're not allowed to be an oral. That's why you do the milah, even if you hold tichui by mitzvahs. Similar question. The halacha is rachmana litzlan. Let's say somebody becomes there's a child, and his father or mother pass away, and he becomes an oval, and he becomes bar mitzvah 2 days later. So when the avelus began, he was a mechuyev an avelus, he was a katan. And then in the middle of the shiva, Rachman Otzlan, does he sit down shiva? The halach is, he sits down. Why don't we say dichui? If at the beginning of the shiva he was disqualified, he was exempt, he should remain permanently exempt. Same type of answer. Avelus is not a key in mitzvah. Avelus is a status. Lemaisa, this person is now within the week of when his parent passed away, and that's why he's an oval. That's a mitzvah. There's no dichui there. So says the Gemara, do we say it or not? Says the Gemara, why don't we bring a raya from the following Mishnah, Masechet Chulin? We know the halacha is that if somebody shechts a chayu or oif, he has to do kisui adam, he has to cover the blood. So the halacha is like this, kisol, if somebody covered the blood, v'nizgala, and after he covered the blood, it got uncovered, patam l'chasas. He doesn't have to do kisui adam. However, kisol ruach, if it was covered by the wind, chayv l'chasas. He has to cover it. When is the halacha that he has to do it? If the wind covered it, and then it got uncovered. If it remains covered, I don't have to do any kisui adam. And we try to analyze that Mishnah. Even if it got exposed, why does he have to cover it? Why don't we say, while it was covered partially, so it should become dochi, it should remain exempt. So Rapapa said, from here we could see, that just because it comes exempt, it doesn't remain permanently exempt. Similarly here, even though this hadas became possible, it doesn't remain permanently possible. Says Rabbi Yirmiya, the Rapapa goof me boile. We need to understand what Rapapa said. There's machlokes to show them how to understand this. Some say, we're not even sure what Rapapa said, or Rabbi Yirmiya is saying, I'm not exactly sure what Rapapa said. Is pshat in Rapapa? The mifshit poshut leidein dichay etzom mitzvahs. To Rapapa, it's obvious that we don't say this concept of dichay by mitzvahs. Loishna l'kulav loishna l'chumra, under all circumstances. Adem asfukim sapkalu. Perhaps Rapapa himself is not sure, or Rabbi Yirmiya at least is not sure. L'chumra minim. Where do we say that we don't say dichui by the case of chazav and nizgala? We're there, not saying dichui gives us a chumri. You have to do kisui adam again. However, lekula in our gemara it's a kula. Lamirin, we don't say dichui. Or perhaps in our gemara where it's a chumra to say dichui, we will say dichui. And teiku the gemara remains with a question. So the Rosh and Tosfos ask a very obvious question. How could you compare our Gemara with the berry growing on top of the hadas to the case of the blood? In the blood, it's in my hand to uncover it. Here, it's not in my hand to make the berry grow. So the two cases aren't similar. So the Rosh, this is the way the Sfasemis understands the Rosh, explains that while the blood is covered, there's no blood. The halacha looks at it as if there's no blood. So again, there's nothing for me to do. The Beis Halevi, actually, says that that's exactly Peshat in the Gemara. That the Gemara is saying, why can't we compare the case of the blood to the case of the Hadas? Because in the case of the Hadas, it's beyond my control to correct it. Mash'enken, in the case of the blood, it is in my control. And with that Beis Halevi, the Beis Halevi used this to explain a Pesach in the Shulchan Aruch. Because it says in Shulchan Aruch, this case that we just learned, that if the wind covered the blood, and then it gets uncovered, you have to do kisui adam, and when you do that kisui adam, says the Shulchan Aruch, make a bracha. So ask the Beis Halevi, fine, you have to do it. But make a bracha, it's a suffix. If you say dichui, then it's not mechuyif. So make the kisui, but don't do the bracha. Says the Beis Halevi, that the case of blood is unique, because there was a my ability to uncover the blood. So it's not a typical case of dichui, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch says, make a bracha. Even if you'll hold, there is dichui. Says the Gemara, Lamech Tanai, perhaps this machloikis, if we say this shaila, if we say dichui or not, is machloikis Tanai. Because the halacha is over the lichtan. Let's say there are berries, and like we learned in the Mishnah, there are more berries than leaves. We'll discuss it more soon. And somebody went on Yontif and took off those berries. Possel. That hadas is possel. Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik. Vachomim, Machshirim, the Chama hold its kosher. So before we get into the Gemara, the Mefarshim asked two questions. How could the Chachamim say that the Hadas is kosher? It's a mitzvah bo b'aveira. You're not allowed to take berries off a Hadas on Shabbos, on Yontif. So this Hadas became kosher because they did an aveira. And we have a rule that you can't do a mitzvah bo b'aveira. We learned it in this parak. So the answer, that here, the aveira is not what makes the mitzvah a mitzvah. words, when do we say a mitzvah above aveira? Without the aveira, I couldn't have a mitzvah. Here I could have the mitzvah without the aveira. I could have taken it off from before Shabbos, or I could use a different hadas. That's why it's not called mitzvah above aveira. Similar question. There's a big machlokes throughout Shas that the Gemara says, kol milsa d'amar rachmon aloi savid, whatever the Torah tells you, don't do. The machlokes, the ovid, if you did it, mahani aloi mahani, is it effective? So if you say Yovid loy mahani, so how could picking the berries on Shabbos be effective? I wasn't supposed to pick. So the Mefarshim answer, that's only where the mitzvah is dependent on that. Here, it's a separate issur. On Yontav, I'm not allowed to pick berries. But that has nothing to do with the Kiyim HaMitzvah. And that's why the klal of Kol Milsa D'amar Rachmon Aloy Savid, Yovid mahani or loy mahani, doesn't apply here. Same type teretz. Ask the Gemara. So the Gemara is trying to understand this machlokes. Savruah, so the Bnei Yeshiva wanted to explain the Kula Amalulav Ein Tzarech Eged. Everybody agrees that there's no mitzvah to midaraisa to tie the Lulav Hadasim and Ravas together. Vim Temtzalayim Tzarech Eged, and even if you say it requires tying, Lo Yapinen Lulav Masukah. By Sukkah we learned a lot of times in this Masechta, there's Alocha Tasvalayim Nosli. What does that mean? If you build your Sukkah under a tree, and then you cut the tree, it's Tasvalayim Nosli and it's possible. That din doesn't apply by lulav. So even if you hold that a lulav requires an egid, the man the apostle sovereign, I mean yesh tichetz mitzvahs. So when you put this hadas into the binding, it had too many berries, it became disqualified. Now afterwards you pick off the berries, it's tassav lemon asui. And that's why it's possible. That's what the Gemara wants to say. So the shail of dicha etz mitzvahs is the machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim. So it's more loy. The kulam loy mini yesh dicha etz mitzvahs. Perhaps everybody will agree. We don't say this concept. That's exactly the shaila. Do I say the concept of tasav loy menosui? If there's an issue of tasav loy menosui, so when I pick up the berries, I'm making it kosher. After I put the hadas in, if I don't say tassav leiman osui, so it's not a problem. Masav yalpina lula mesukah. We have, because as we learned many times, you can't make up your own gzeir shava. So Rabbi Elazar had a kabbalah from his rebbe's to learn this gzeir shava, and therefore there's a concern of tassav leiman osui. Or masav lo yalpina lula mesukah, and that's why there's no concern of tassav leiman osui. V'baisema, another way of explaining the machlokes. Again, it has nothing to do with yesh dichui etzel mitzvahs. Everybody will agree, ain't dichui. What is the machlokes? Isfir lan lulav tzarech eged. If you hold that the lulav has to be bound together, the kulam yalpin and lulav mesukah. Everybody will learn lulav mesukah and there's a problem tassav lem nosri. However, here the shail is, the lulav tzarech eged kamiflegi. Does the lulav need to be tied together? Aplukta dahani tanai. And it's machlokes tanoim. The Tanya, lulav, bein ogud, bein she'en ogud, kosher. The chum hold, the lulav, does not have to be tied together. If you daim ogud kosher, she'en ogud posel. So the lezer that holds its posel, if you pick the berries out, after you put the hadas into the binding, is because you have a problem tassav leim menosui, because you have to have an egid. The chum hold, you don't have to have an egid. If you daimer, that's how the lezer can hold, ogud, if it's tied together, kosher, Shein Agud Posel. Ask the Gemara, my time, Rabbi Yehuda. From where does Rabbi Yehuda take that you have to tie the minim together? Yalaf lekich lekichem agudus ezef. We know that when they sprinkled the par aduma, they took the bundle together. Ksiv hachav lekachtem lechem b'yom arishin, by the dal minim. Ksiv hachav lekachtem agudus ezef. Mala halan aguda, afkan aguda. Rabbanan, less lekech lekich, they don't learn that gzeri shavim. Ask the Gemara. Man tana v'ha de tana rabbanon. Who's the tana of the following braisa? The tana rabbanon. Lulav mitzvah l'agdai. The lulav should be put together with the other meaning. Minim. V'mlav, v'mloy agda kosher. Mani. Who's the tana? Rabbi Yehuda, ki loy agda my kosher. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's essential. Rabbanon, my mitzvah covid. You don't have to do it. We just learned. Says the Gemara, v'oilim rabbanon. Mitzvah mishum zekeli anveyu. Rabban Hold is a separate Indian. It's Zekeli Manveyu. It's beautiful when you have the Lulav and the Hadas and the Rava tied together. And that's why, not because it's required, but it's the nice thing to do. So first of all, I want to tell you an interesting pshat in a minig. It was news to me until yesterday. The minig is that on Hashanah Rabbah, we take the rings off the Lulav. And I never knew the reason why. So the Mefarshim explained this is the reason. We really pass like the Rabbonim. That we're not supposed to, we don't have to tie the Luluf together. Why do we tie it together? Zekeli Vanveyu. Say, so we want to show on the last day of Sukkot that we're untying the Luluf and we're still being Mekayim the Mitzvah, then nobody should make the mistake and think that we're passing like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's a requirement that it be tied together. It's not a requirement. We're doing it because Zekeli Vanveyu. And it's just a kasher without it, so we show it on the last day of Sukkot. Then I saw another interesting shaila. Here we see there's a concept of Zekeli Vanveyu. So I saw a shaila from Yitzhak Zilberstein. Let's say somebody could buy, he has two esrogim to choose. One esrog he could buy from a Jewish merchant. It's a nice kosher esrog. Another esrog he could buy from a non-Jewish merchant, and it's a nicer esrog. Which should he buy? So the Imre Yosher says he should buy the nicer esrog. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein says he should buy the esrog from the Jew. He said, because what does Zekeli Vanveyu teach us? That the entire Kiyum HaMitzvah should be done in a beautiful way. Supporting a Jew is beautiful. And therefore, if it's a kosher esrog, buy it from a Jew. And he brings a raya. The Steichemet says that there's one should prefer to buy an esrog from Eretz Yisrael. Why should one buy an esrog from Eretz Yisrael? Because when you buy an Eretz Yisrael, the esrog, you're supporting the Jewish farmers. You're supporting Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that they're growing trees in Eretz Yisrael. That is part of the beautification of the mitzvah, that when you give a Jew panasa, you help Eretz Yisrael. One more interesting shaila. The Brisker Rav discusses the shaila. Fascinating shaila. You have two Jews bought, if such a thing is possible. They bought two identical esrogim, and they both paid $100 for the esrog. They're identical. But these two people don't have the same financial status. One is a wealthy person, so the $100 doesn't really make a difference to him. And the other one doesn't have money, but he wants to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. When we look at Hidda Mitzvah, do we look at Hidda Mitzvah in the Cheftza? So they both have the same esrog. So the fact that it was harder for me to spend the money than for you, so be it. Or do we say Hidda Mitzvah is a din in the Gavra? So for me, that I had to exert myself more, I have more of a mitzvah. That was a shaila that was asked to the Brisker Rav. So Rabbi Yomit Seilberger, the Rosh Yeshiva based Talmud, wanted to bring a raya that it's a din in the Gavra. What was his raya? Because the Gemara gives an example of Hidda Mitzvah to buy a nice talis. Says Rabbi Yom Tzalberger, the talis is not the mitzvah, the tzitzis is the mitzvah. So why do you have to buy a nice talis? So you see, it's a din in the Gavra, a person should buy a nice talis to be able to buy tzitzis. So the Brisker Rav said, you're wrong. Brisker Rav said, very interesting. He says, why does the Gemara say you should buy a nice talis? The Gemara should say you should make a mansion with 100 rooms, and if you'll have 100 rooms, you'll have to put up 100 mezuzahs. So he says, because you can't compare a talis to anything else. Because the talis itself is a tashmish to mitzvah. Why do we wear talis? It's not the regular garment we wear. So the talis itself is a cheftz to the mitzvah. So the Brisker Rav says that Zekeli Vanveyu is a din in the cheftza, not in the gavra. Says Rav Chaim, that once we establish that the mitzvah is a din in the cheftza, even according to Rabbanan, so it has all the dinim of the cheftza. So now, let's say we have to bind the lulav. Says the Rav Chaim, we shouldn't let a guy bind the lulav. Because just like a guy doesn't take the lulav, he has no connection to this mitzvah. The hidda mitzvah is part of the mitzvah, so he shouldn't be the one to bind the mitzvah, to bind the lulav, even if you hold that binding the lulav is only a hidda mitzvah. Continues the Gemara. Aisha haya anova merubin. So we learned in the Mishnah that if there's more berries than leaves, it's possible. Amr of Chizda Dovah Zerabbein HaGadol Amrai, our great teacher taught it to us, V'makam Yibbe Azrai. Lo Shanal V'makam Echad. When is it disqualified? If it's in one place. Av B'Shnayim V'Shlosh Mekaymas. If the berries are dispersed throughout the Hadas, Kasher. Amalei Rava, so Rava said to him, Shnayim V'Shlosh Mekaymas. If it's dispersed over a number of places, have a menumer. It's a spotted Hadas, and it's certainly possible. Aliyitma Hochiyitma. Oishaya Novim Ruben Me'al Apostle. If there's more berries then leaves, it's possible. Amr of Chizda, Dovah Zer Rabbein HaGadol Amroi, V'makim Yiba Azroi, Loi Shana Lashana of Shchairis. Only if the berries are black, that's when they could possibly disqualify the Hadas. aval another of yirakos, if they're green, minit hadasu, it's considered like the hadas for kosher. So I saw an interesting shaila from the Sfasemis. We're saying that green berries aren't a problem, blackberries are a problem. When green berries aren't, and we're saying that if you have more leaves than berries, it's kosher. If you have more berries than leaves, it's possible. Ask the Sfasemis, when we say green berries aren't a problem, means that we don't count them? Or do we combine them with the leaves, and that if we combine them together with the leaves, we may now have a kosher hadas? Omra papa, adumis, red berries, kishcharis damyun, have the same din like black. Domra chanina, hai dam shocher, black blood that a woman has a discharge, Edom who is really red blood, El Shaloka just got discolored. So that's why, just like there we see red and black are the same, here too red and black are the same, and red berries would disqualify Hadas. So we learned in Miatan, if somebody takes off the berries, it's kosher. Ask the Gemara, the Miatan Amos, when did he take off the berries? If he took them off before you just have a hadas and you take off that berries before you use it, what's the shaila? Pshita, what does the Mishnah have to teach me? Elo lebosadil agde. It must be that he put it in, and when he put it in, it was a disqualified hadas. And the Mishnah is teaching us that if I take off the berries then, it's okay. So ask the Gemara, don't we have a proof that we don't say dochi b'mitzvahs? Because here when we put it in, again, let's review. It was disqualified. It had too many berries. Now, after it's in, I take off the berries. So even though it was disqualified, it's still kosher. Dochimi karahu. It was disqualified. Shouldn't we have a proof from here? Ask the Gemara. Tifshet mino, that dochimi karahu have a dochi. Answers the Gemara. L'oilam bos dagde. It was taken off after it was tied together. However, and this is the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, the Kusava Eged has mana the Almahu. This mandama holds that there's, like we learned on Amun Aleph, that there really is no requirement to do Eged. So even though I put the Hadas when it had too many berries, and I tied it when it had these berries, the tying really doesn't mean anything. Because we're going according to the mandama now that holds that Eged is not required. Eged has mana ba'almahu, so has mana ba'almalaf klumhu, and as long as it's before Yontif, it's not called disqualified, and the Mishnah is teaching us that if I take off the Hadassim before Yontif, it's fine. Before we go further, in all of the examples that we're speaking of Dochui in today's Shir by the Hadassim, we were speaking situation that the Hadass was never a kosher Hadass. It had the top missing, it had too many berries. But you really can have another situation. You could have a situation of Nira, it was kosher, v'nifsal, then it becomes disqualified, v'chaz v'nira. What would be an example? An example would be two examples. The first that had the top, so it's kosher hadas, then the top fell off, so it's pasul, and then the berry grows up, v'chaz v'nira. Or, let's say it had too many berries, or it didn't have too many berries, or the berries were green. Then, v'nifsal, the berries, you had too many berries, or the berries turned into the wrong color, v'chaz v'nira, and then it becomes kosher. In halacha, just giving an introduction to the next piece of Gemara, in halacha, when we speak about dochui, it's a lot worse if it's nearer v'nitcha than it was never nearer. That's just the introduction to this Gemara. Deim matim b'yavim. So we learned that you're not allowed to take it off in yontif. Why? So the Mefarshim explain, Machloikas, Posh Pshad, because it's Makba Patish. It's making the Hadas a kosher Hadas. Hover, Veloktin. What's the halach if somebody did it on Yontif? My, kosher. Asking about Ashkha Amos. When did I take him off? Elaim the Ashkham Eschmo. That it was, if we'll say that it was Posel from when Yontif began, Dochmi Karuhu. Was first disqualified. Now I'm making a kosher. So shouldn't we have a raya? Ask the Gemara. Tishit mino. Shouldn't we have a raya? Dochi mikar. If something was originally disqualified, do I have a dochi? What must be? The lav da ashch b'yontif. That it was kosher before yontif. it became posel, and now becomes kosher again. So now the Gemara says we even have a bigger raya. Nir v'nitcha. So here we have a situation where it was kosher and then posel and then kosher again. Shamet mino. So should we have perhaps from here proof that nir if it was kosher, v'nitcha, and then it becomes disqualified. Chaz v'nir, and then it becomes qualified again that it's kosher, which is even a bigger chiddush, as we said in our introduction. Says Marloi, loyim de ashkim ikara, that it was never kosher. And we have a proof from here that dochi mikara de loyav dochi, that if it was never kosher and then becomes kosher, we don't say dichui. Tivshimino, that's taka a proof. Avanir v'nitcha v'chayz v'nira, if something was kosher and then posel and then kosher, loy tivshin. So the way Taisa summarizes the sugi is like this. If the hadas at the beginning of Yontif was posel, and it was never kosher, and then it becomes kosher on Yontif, then we say ein dichui, and the hadas is kosher. However, Taisus again draws the distinction between a dichui that's in my control and a dichui that's not in my control. Taking off the berries is in my control. Growing a berry is not in my control. However, the situation where it was at the beginning of Yontif kosher, then after Yontif began it became posel, and then it becomes kosher again, that we don't have a definitive proof what the halach is. Tana Abonim, Eim Mematin B'Yontif. You're not allowed to take off the berries on Yontif. B'Shim Rav Lezber, B'Shim Amru, Mematin. You are allowed to. Ask the Gemara, V'Kom Asakim Mona B'Yontif. You're making into a kosher hadas. That's Mak B'Patish. So before we go further, the Rishonim ask, why isn't there a problem that we have halacha, that in Yontif you're allowed to do malacha? B'Tach Shotra, you're allowed to do all malachas for Eichel Nefesh. I'm getting to it. I'm getting there. I'm going there soon. Why isn't there a problem? Why isn't there a heter for Eichel Nefesh? So the Mefarshim say, La Loch Lamaisa, for the malacha, what is the malacha mak bepatish? The malacha mak bepatish is boina, and boina there is no mitaychon. You're never allowed to build or create anything on Yontif. So how could you take him off on Yontif? Amrav Ashi, Kigan Shalakhtam Lachila. When I took off the berries, my purpose wasn't to make that das kosher, to do boina. My purpose was I want to eat those berries. And the Pais can point out, aren't those berries muksa? So they say, if I had a mind from before Yontif, I'm going to use them to eat, they don't become muksa. Rav Lezer b'Shimon Sovela Kavua, I am doing a malacha. Even if my kavon is to eat, aren't I making a kosher hadas? He holds like his father, since that's not my intent, it's mutter. Where do we have it? The famous case, that let's say somebody schleps a chair on the earth on Shabbos, even if it makes a furrow, I'm not chayv, because my goal wasn't to make a furrow. My goal was to move the chair. Ask the Gemara, v'bayi v'rav damer tavayu, moed b'sik reish v'lo yomus. If something is inevitable, it's not called a davar she'eino miskaven. So here, when you take off the berries, it's inevitable. So why don't we say that it's osur, even according to the man, the Omer that holds davar she'eino miskaven? Answers the Gemara, hachem ma'iskin in the islay hashana achrita. So there's a lot of ways of explaining this Gemara. Rashi explains, I have a kasha arova. I have a kasha hadas. So I don't really need this hadas. So that's why I'm not doing matakimana. I'm not making it better. I don't need it. And that's why everybody will agree that I'm allowed to take off the berries. That's how Rashi explains. Tosfos explains, because it's malach shen etzrich l'gufo. I don't need a kosher hadas, I have another hadas. I need the berries. So it's malach shen etzrich l'gufo. Another pshat is it's a psik reisha de la'ich p'slei. And by a drabonon, a psik reisha de la'ich p'slei, I don't care about this psik reisha, it's not considered a psik reisha. Asks the Or Sameach, why don't we say in different heter? Essay Daichalaisa say, the essay of being mechuyiv to take dalim minim should be Daicha the Loisa say of pulling off leaves. So the answer always given is it has to be Be'idna. And here, when I pull off the leaves, I'm not doing the mitzvah. So ask Or Sameach, so hold it in your hand. And when you're taking off the berries, you'll be Mekayim the mitzvah. So he answers, let's say there are 10 berries. When I pull off the first berry that I have to take off, I'm not doing the mitzvah. When does it become a mitzvah? Only when I pulled off the 10th one. So the first 9 is not Esed Deichalaisa said, because there's no mitzvah yet. I'm not making the mitzvah until the 10th berry. You're not a second. you're not a sack until the 10th one either. And Echnami, the Gemara maybe is talking about the 10th one. So maybe according to Rosh Mech, the Gemara, you can't, I guess that doesn't work. Maybe, according to him, that would be interesting, Shai. Now the Gemara goes back to discussing the Eged. This is a very interesting Gemara. We said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Eged is required. According to Rabbanan, we make the Eged because of Zek, Kelim, and Veyu. So there's three ways of making an Eged. One is to make a gnat. Another is to make a bow. That's called a kesher. Another is to make an aniva, a bow. And a third is just to wrap around the three minim together. Tana Rabbanan. Hota ogdu b'yodai. Let's say on Yontif, the gnat you made falls apart. And in Yontif, you're not going to make a gnat. Ogdai ka ogdai shal yarek. Which means you just should wrap around a piece around the three minim. Ask them of Amai Linvi Ma'anif, why not make a bow? Answers the Gemara, Hamani Rabbi Yehuda hi, the Amach Anivik Shira Ma'al Yasehi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, a bow is considered Kshira. So that's why it's not an option, because you're not allowed to do Kshira on Yontif. Ask the Gemara, I Rabbi Yehuda, Eged Ma'al Yasehi. Rabbi Yehuda is the man, the Amman, that held an Amman Aleph, that the Eged is required Midaraisa. So how could this Tana say that if the Eged falls apart, just wrap a piece of material around, it's not good enough? The Torah requires a full-fledged knot. Answers the Gemara. Hai Tana Sabala Kavasei Bechada. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that a Neva is also to be made on Shabbos for Yontif, or Pagle Bechada, but he disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Eged is required. He holds, like the Chachamim, that the Eged is only of for Zek Heli Vanveyu, it's a mitzvah and a mufcha, but it's not absolutely required. So after we learn this Gemara, the Mishnah Berurah says we have a very interesting Shaila. How do we do Eged? The way we do Eged is we have what's called the Kaishalach, and we put the Lulav and the Adasim and the Ravas into it. But that's not a gnat or a bow. So why is that good enough? So the Mishnah Berurah brings down 2 days. One day is that since we are only doing the Eged because the Rabbanim say to do it for Zek, Keli, Vaveyu, it's not that we hold that it's absolutely required. For that, it's good enough if you put it into the Kaishalach. However, other days say that if you're going to do it because Zek, Keli, Vaveyu, do it right. That's why some places have the minig that they don't use Kaishalach. They take the Hadassim, the Ravis, and the Lulav, and they just tie them together without putting them into the Kaishalach. Other places have the Minig, which is the Minig by most of Klal Yisrael, that they tie them together besides using the Kaishalach. And like that, so we have the Kaishalach, which make it easy to hold, but we also tie it together to Mekayim, a full-fledged Eged. But there's few interesting points. One point is that we should be careful that when you stick them into the Kaishalach, side of the Kaishalach, you have the right side for the Adasim, the left side for the Aravis, and the middle for the Lulav. And you hold it on the bottom. You have to be careful that the Adasim and the Aravis and the Lulav all meet at the bottom where you put your hand. Because you have to hold all three minim in your hand. So if you're holding it at the bottom of this bundle, you don't have in your hand Hadassim, Arovus, and Lulav, you're not really being kind to mitzvah properly, because l'chatchil you have to have all three of them in your hand. We're going to learn tomorrow about the average kosher, even if you don't have them all three in your hand, but l'chatchil should all be three in your hand at the same time. There's also machloikas menhagim when to make this eged. Some mefarshim say that you should prepare it from before Yontif, but actually put it in on Yontif itself, because that's when the chiv of the mitzvah is. Most people have the minig that on Erev Yontif in the afternoon, in the sukkah, before Yontif, they do the eged. There's a third minig that you tie it all together with all the knots, and then take the lulav out of the kaishalach, and then afterwards, on Yontif in the morning, all you do is just stick the lulav in, so you mekayim both menhagim. You like that brisket roll, Joey?